EAGLES, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Football Friday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports, the number one Philadelphia Eagles daily show. We'll be going live all through the offseason. I'm your host, Sandra Krause. That's my co-host, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Football Friday, brother?
I'm doing well. Another Friday, getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which, wow, this is the least I've talked about the NFL draft.
Yeah, we're about to get into it today.
Because of the Super Bowl and everything else, and the offseason is so short for the Eagles. It's just, you know, obviously they've been here before, three times in 8 years, but this one seemed quicker. I don't know. It does.
It's late March already, John. I mean, yeah. It's crazy how quick it's been.
Yeah, it's amazing. And a lot of players, they're signing a lot of players because they're going the clearance aisle route. You know, it's last year it was more splash players.
Right.
Turned out to be splash players with Zach Bond too, but expected splash players with Saquon. Just a different vibe to this offseason.
There is. There's no doubt about it. There is a much different vibe. It's a different team. They have they do have a tough outlook in the future, I think, but I think Howie's done the right thing so far this offseason. I know we've called it the clearance rack, but yeah, I don't know what else they would have done. And I think with everything they have coming up, it makes a lot of sense. But I understand people in the moment get upset about some of the people that are gone and the differences of the team. But every team's going to have turnover. Our turnover was just harder, John, because our team was so damn good.
Yeah, it happens. You know, it's happened to a lot of Super Bowl teams in the past where guys get good players get paid great money because Everybody wants to break off a piece of that success. And I think that's what happened to the Eagles. And they made some difficult decisions and said, you know, Milton Williams being top of the list, it's like, I don't think there's anybody in that building that dislikes Milton Williams as a player.
Right.
But you got to make some difficult decisions, understanding. And you mentioned in the moment, people get upset in the moment because they're worried about, well, what does this do to the team now? It's not what it does to the team now, what it potentially does to the team down the road. And that's hard for people to, you know, you don't want to be in a position where you can't keep Jalen Carter, which they're not going to be in. But even the second tier, where you're going to lose Cam Jurgens or Reed Blankenship or down the road Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeJean, et cetera, or Zach Bond, who you didn't lose. They made that decision. Want to keep Zach Bond? Can't keep Milton Williams, can't keep Josh Sweat, can't keep Mekhi Becton. You know, it's tough.
It is, no doubt about it, John. It is tough. You just mentioned the NFL draft. We haven't talked about it much, but we're about to start talking about it a lot here on Birds 365. I want to set the stage for everybody today. We got a great show planned on a Football Friday for those just checking in. Make sure you guys up your memberships. All right, I will be doing a giveaway after the show today on Xander Time here at the end of Birds 365. So I got Super Bowl hats and shirts, and I'll do a giveaway. I do have to run, so I don't have all the time in the world, but we will do a giveaway. So for those listening in who maybe canceled their memberships after the season, get them back up. All right. Because we'll be doing that after the show. We have Les Bowen in hour number two. So we'll talk to the great Les Bowen. It's been a bit since we've talked to Les. I love talking to Les. We'll get his perspective on what the offseason has looked like so far. We'll do that in hour number two. And then we'll dive into the NFL draft here in hour number one and kind of what it looks like now, where the Eagles are, phase two of free agency. Most of our key losses have already occurred. Most of our key free agent signings have already occurred. And we'll look at where the team is at, what the draft holds in the future. They got a lot of picks coming up, a lot of picks. So we'll talk about that. Now, John, let me ask you, now with phase two, as you call it, of free agency coming to a close here, and, you know, Mekhi Becton went this week, a couple other moves were made. This week, obviously, Brandon Graham's retirement was the headliner on the week, even though nobody wanted to listen to any content about it. What do you think?
That still pisses me off.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. What do you think about the Eagles, though, draft-wise, now that we are post phase two of free agency. You always talk that you hate mock drafts before free agency because, you know, what do you, how the hell do you know what a team is going to do before they make moves in free agency, yeah, which I agree with. But as it stands now, post phase two of free agency, what do you think's on the horizon for the Birds in this NFL draft, or potentially has nothing changed?
No, plenty. You know, I think, well, nothing's changed from the standpoint that Howie had a plan pre-free agency, you know, then you go execute it. So I think he kind of hinted in Indianapolis, this is, you know, going to be a different offseason. I don't think he said it, maintenance offseason. And then I think the draft, they're going to get back to their, and he used the term different. Then in the draft, you're going to get back to their foundational thought process, which is offensive defensive line. I think that's the plan before. I think that's the plan now. At least at the top, obviously. That's what we're talking about. So I think, you know, there's a very good chance that in, you know, through day two of the draft, so you're talking about picks, where 32, 64, 96, you're probably going to get an offensive lineman and a defensive front player in those three picks. And they might, yeah, as we know with Howie, he's unlikely to take those picks. He's going to move around the board. But I would say they're going to get an offensive lineman and a defensive front player in the first 2 days of the draft. And a couple things. A, it's foundational. B, it's a deep draft on both. More defensive front. Not as deep on the offensive line. Last year was much deeper, but there's still plenty of draft. As you see, the Eagles started their top 30 visits. There's only four that I know of. There could be more, but the four I know of, they're all offensive linemen.
Yeah, I saw that.
And again, that doesn't, but the Eagles have a history of drafting some of the players they bring in and draft them all, obviously.
Well, the reason I like the names, John, is because even if they don't draft them, sometimes you see them come back into the organization later.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if yeah. I was just about to talk about you. Kenyon Green was here on the top 30 visit.
Right.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson was here on the top 30 visit. And all of a sudden, they're here.
Right.
You know, and over the past 2 years, Jalen was obviously top. They wanted to do their due diligence, Jalen Carter, but obviously everybody did. Nolan was in. Ringo was in. Steen was in. Those are the guys I know of. Last year, Quinion was in. Cooper was in. Jalex was in. So 1, 2, 3. And then Pumper's crush, Johnny Wilson, was in. Anaya Smith was in. So they, you know, they often draft guys that they do that due diligence on, obviously, but there's 30 of them. So they're not, you're not going to draft all of them, but it sometimes you don't get an opportunity. Like they like Kenyon Green, but they were taking Jordan Davis and they traded up and all of a sudden Kenyon Green goes 15. They liked Dorian Thompson-Robinson more than they liked Tanner McKee, but they couldn't get him. And I think Cleveland took him in the fifth round, and they want McKee in the sixth round. So I think people forget there's 31 other teams yeah. talking with these players as well. One of the guys who was in was Josh Connerly, was in, going to be in, is in, whatever. And he's a potential pick at 32 if he lasts that long, but he might not. I know the Oregonian, so a reporter out there said he's coming in to visit with the Eagles, but he also mentioned he was going to visit Atlanta and Chicago and Cincinnati and right. Houston and New Orleans and Washington. So that's what you're sort of dealing with.
Yeah, he's on an NFL tour to meet with everybody. So, but look, I do think there is significance to the names they bring in. And obviously all offensive linemen is what we've heard so far. You think there's a chance they go O-line? I mean, I think there's always a chance, but, you know, when you break it down, do you think the Eagles would go offensive line in round one? I know we mentioned last year they obviously drafted Quinion Mitchell, but if the offensive lineman they liked last year, I think it was Troy Fontenot. Is that right?
Fatano.
Fatano, that's right. I always pronounce his name wrong. But if he fell, the Eagles were interested. You think they'd be? You think they'd be really interested in an offensive lineman round one, even with some of the changes that they've had?
Yeah, I mean, they'd be. They brought all right. So the four guys they brought in: Marcus Mbo. If I butchered his name, I apologize. It's Mbow, who's from Purdue. No, they're not taking him in the first round. Anthony Belton, we talked about. We already knew he was coming in because he said it at the combine. He's not a first-round pick. They brought in Jalen Travis yesterday. He's a massive 6'8 guy. He's not a first-round pick. Connerly, yeah, that maybe. So it all depends on, you know, who's there, who falls.
Right.
Versus who's on their board. Is Connerly, if he falls, is he higher up? Then they're going to bring in defensive front people at some point as well. You know, so it all, but yeah, I mean, the position, if it falls the right way, yeah, they'll take an offensive lineman.
I could see it. We'll see what they end up doing there. Should be interesting to see, John. I think the shoe-in is obviously the defensive line, which is where they need. They need reinforcements. You lost Brandon Graham. You lost Josh Sweat. And you lost Milton Williams. And you're relying on, you know, some young players and some one-year deals to get production out of that spot. So it could be interesting to see what they obviously end up doing there and how they replenish the defensive line. But, you know, people love to talk about best player available. I think it's obviously best player available, but it's got to fit, right? I mean, you can't just always in a vacuum take the best player available in the NFL draft, depending on what team you are. At least that's how I see it. Maybe I'm way wrong. Maybe teams really do take the best player available regardless of position. But I feel like there has to be some malleability based on a team and where they are and their needs and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, teams like to say that. And for the most part, I'd like to describe it as best player available at your need positions. You know, certain guys like the Eagles aren't, and it's not going to come into play. Positions, they're not taking a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
They're not taking a running back.
I don't know. You don't think they'll play that trick on us, do you? Last time they signed a quarterback to a big contract, they did do that.
Well, it's second round's a lot. I'm talking about first round.
Yeah.
And even 32. They're not taking a quarterback at 32.
I'm going to go ahead and say they're not taking one at 64 either.
You're probably right. Well, it's a bad quarterback draft as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, anything's possible once you get out of the first round. And the Eagles might not even pick in the first round if they have their druthers. It becomes easier. But in the first round, generally, especially when you're more closer to the top, it's always, you know, you never want to reach for players. But there are certain years where you're not looking for certain positions and you don't even really do the homework you necessarily would. I go back to Saquon getting that question early the season. He kind of chuckled at it. I kind of chuckled at it. And, you know, he was asked, hey, for some reason, did the Eagles have interest in you when you were drafted? He was like, you know, the Eagles won the Super. That's the last time they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
They had the 32nd pick in the draft. And he was the second pick in the draft. And he was in the conversation, obviously, to go number one. And he, like I said, he just kind of chuckled and said, but Saquon's very nice and, you know, he tries to answer everybody thoughtfully. And he said, well, I'm paraphrasing. He said, my draft process was a little bit different. It was, you know,
a nice way to say the Eagles had no chance.
Yeah. And he said, you know, I'd come across teams and they said, we're not going to be able to get you. That was the conversation. That's the Eagles. Yeah. We're not going to be able to. So they're not doing a whole lot of homework on Saquon Barkley when they have the 32nd pick. They're not doing a whole lot of homework on Abdul Carter this year at 32.
See, I don't know. I would still take like meeting. I mean, I'm sure they still do. They take meetings and stuff with these players because I would be interested to learn. I would, I'd like to know who's out there.
You're limited, you know? These things. So you want to, you only have top, the guys you bring in, you only have top third. It's a waste of time. Now, there's a lot more at the combine and stuff like that. And, you know, if you have a 10-minute meeting, but even that, you have a limit. And, you know, if you're picking 32nd, it's a waste of time. If you don't want a quarter, like, are you talking to Cam Ward?
Yeah.
Why?
The waste of the precious time that you have, I guess, yeah.
So, I mean, you still have your personnel people looking at all these players. You know, you never know what happens down the road. But when it comes to the preparation for this draft, Ward, Hunter, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carr, it's a complete waste of time. You're not in a position to get these players, which is what Saquon was saying back in 2018.
John, what do you think the ceiling is on where the Eagles could potentially trade up to? I think it's a better chance they trade down, but they do have a lot of picks in the chamber, John. They got a lot of picks this year. They got a ton of picks next year. I think they have 4 fifth-rounders this year. Next year, they have 3 third-rounders, 2 fourths, and 3 fifths, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere, I'm pretty sure I'm right on the money, but it's close. There's a lot of picks, around 20 picks for this team coming up. I think Howie Rosen is going to shake and bake. And because he needs draft players on rookie contracts to hit right now with the way the cap is structured, I think he's going to be willing to go and get a guy that he likes, even if it means going up. Now, I think there's a ceiling, though, right? I mean, how high can you go if you're trading 32 and other picks? You know, like, I think there would be a limit on how high you could go. What do you think that ceiling is for where the Birds could potentially trade up to?
Yeah, I don't think they're it's much, 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 much more likely that they're going down. As far as going up, you know, you never rule it out because it's Howie. If there's a very specific targeted trade up, I would say 26, 27, maybe 5 spots. That's it. Because they're very good about, you know, they're going to have a cluster of players they're interested in at getting at 32. And as they start to get plucked off the board, and they've done this in more high-profile situations like Jordan Davis. And with Jordan, they were concerned Baltimore was going to take him at 14, so they had to jump over Baltimore to get him. With Devontae Smith, he was the last of a cluster of 5, so they had to jump up over the Giants to get him. You're talking about very limited targeted trade up, and I still think it's way more likely they trade down in this particular draft as well. The draft factors into it as well. There aren't a lot of top tier prospects, and everybody you talk to, and we'll talk to more draft people, but the ones we talked to all said the same thing. It's, you know, however high you get, and there's some that think it's a really small group of true first rounders, 12, something like that. And then from 20 to 50, it's like, you know, then you have the next drop off. So if you're at 32 and it's 20 to 15, 20 to 50, that is basically not that much of a difference. You better be in love with a certain player if you're going to move up, because it just makes more sense to move down. Now, and then the fifth-year option part of it. Somebody might want a quarterback, and you can maybe take advantage of it. That's what they did in 2018. Now, Baltimore was happy as well, but, you know, they didn't need a quarterback at the time. So they weren't interested in a quarterback. And they traded down and got a very good tight end for – traded down, then traded back up and got a very good tight end. They might, that would be the more logical way to go about it. But again, I don't, you certainly don't have a Lamar Jackson type player that somebody's going to come up for at 32. Now, there's other positions. I've talked to Howie about this, the fifth year option. Yeah, I've talked to Howie about this. Fucking that still pisses me
might off. As well say it 3 times.
you know, he explained that there's certain positions you want the fifth year options, and there's certain positions you don't want the fifth year option. As you think about these things as a general manager, so there could be other positions: edge rusher, offensive tackle. Yeah, I think Kansas City stayed put last year and drafted the tackle, didn't work out at all. And we'll see if he can reclimate his career. But there are certain positions you want it, certain positions you don't want it, quarterback being the most notable. But I don't think anybody's coming up to get Jackson Dart at 32. But it only makes
sense. I don't know, man. There is a little bit
Jalen, of Jalen yeah. Milroe. You know why? Because it only takes one team.
Yes, that's and why. And, like, it's easy to say that about Lamar now, but, like, Lamar fell to 32. Like, he, you know, knowing what we know now, Lamar would have been the first overall pick in the draft, or second, or whoever went that year. I know it was a good quarterback draft. But, I mean, it's easy to say that now. Maybe somebody is high. Maybe in 5 years, John, we're looking at back at this class like, holy shit, can you believe Jackson Dart was there at 32? Maybe not. Most likely not. But I'm just saying it could.
Well, my thing about the draft is, you know, you could say Jordan Mailata should be a top 10 pick, you know, in hindsight.
Right. That's true.
But my thing about the draft, it's about more than what the player develops. Obviously, that's what a fan's going to focus on. But it's about value. Like, it wouldn't have been, even if you knew, even if you had some kind of, you know, crystal ball, and you said, hey, guys, I know Jordan Mailata is going to turn into one of the best left tackles in football, you would have been stupid for taking him top 10 because you didn't have to.
Right, right. That's part.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Playing the board. That's part of playing the board.
So value factors into it and is a big factor. You know, Chip Kelly wanted, you know, obviously Chip was obsessed to a hamstringing degree. You know, it hurt him with the Oregon guys, and he had all the success there. And you know how many Oregon was Georgia back in the day, just for the Eagles, just not successful. Because Chip wanted to always bring in Oregon guys. You know, if you go back to Lane Johnson's draft, they wanted to draft Deion Jordan from Oregon. And Miami luckily jumped ahead of him to steal Deion Jordan away from Chip Kelly. And the Eagles had to settle for Lane Johnson.
The best settling of all time right there.
Yeah. So, you know, so he loved a player by the name of Taylor Hart, if people remember him. And Taylor Hart was, it's funny, he was a defensive lineman, and then they switched him to offensive line. He was here for quite a while. So, and he was here twice. He, you know, he left and came back, and he turned into a offensive lineman. Couldn't play either that well. It's a better defensive lineman, but, and Chip wanted him in the third round. And at the time, Howie, before their fracture, he's like, we'll get him. We'll get him. And they ended up getting him in the fifth round, which doesn't, you know, but he wanted him in the third round. Well, the value doesn't match up. So value's a part of it.
Yeah. It's like the N'Kobe Dean draft, right? They could have taken him in round two, but they didn't want the value there. And then he fell, and ultimately he was worth it at that point. Same with Cooper DeJean last year, right? I mean, they got him at 40. They thought that was the right spot. They could have taken him at 22, but the value
they might have. If Quinion wasn't there, they might have. If Faltano and Quinion weren't there, they might have. But people worried about Cooper injuries, you know, position difference, and then the goofy, oh, he's a white guy, can he play corner? But a lot of weird stuff with Cooper, but
yeah.
Should have been a first-round pick, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely, I think now, after seeing his rookie year, definitely should have been a first-round pick. John, you mentioned that trading down is a much bigger possibility in your estimation that the Eagles will do. I think you're right about that for sure, just when you look at the draft board. But the one thing I will ask is, you know, what are we talking about in terms of a return when we say that? Like, people are love to say, oh, trade down and end up with two second round pick. Well, what does this look like? Like, if you're going to trade 32, where do you go?
You're not getting 2 second round picks.
That's what I mean. So it's like, what are you adding if you do trade down from 32? Let's say you go to 40, or let's say you go to 45. What are you adding? Another third, another fourth, another fifth? I mean, what does that look like? Because I think people are a little bit off. They're like, trade one, back one. You end up with two twos and two threes. And I'm like, I don't think you're getting all that for the 32nd overall pick, but we'll see.
Well, you know, there's the famous Jimmy Johnson trade chart. If you go back to 2018, there's a perfect example, because Eagles were 32nd. They moved out. They traded down to, I don't know, 52.
Ooh, and then trade down.
And then went back up to 49 to get Goddard. So there was a lot of wrangling. Now I should look up just what they traded for Goddard originally, but I'm looking up the trade charts to go from no, 32 to 52, which is not as much as you would think.
That's right, and I don't think it's much at all.
Yeah, not as much as you would think. So I'll do it with the trade charts. So 32 is worth 590 points on the trade chart, and they traded down to 52, which is worth 380. So the team coming up, Baltimore's got to come up with that 480, 580, right. 210. Now, quarterbacks also change that, because quarterbacks are valued more.
Obviously. Right, so people will spend more, in a sense, to go and grab them.
Exactly. So, you know, that tends to change. And the best example of that is Patrick Mahomes, because on paper, you know, people thought the Chiefs were crazy at the time for making that move. And you see how that works. But yeah, not nearly as you're not getting 2 second round picks. You might get, you know, you're basically trading draft, and people understand it. You're trading draft positioning. So you're dropping 20 spots. That's what you're doing. That's how you have to think of it. That's how GMs think of it. You're dropping from 32 to 52. And then ultimately they went up to 49. But that's sort of, yeah, you're not getting massive hauls. You might get a fourth round pick, you know, that type of thing. But remember, see, I think a lot of people forget the equation. You're not trading a first round pick. You're trading those 20 spots. You're getting something back and then something on top of it. So you don't say, oh, you gave up a first round pick, but you're getting a spot 20, you're getting a pick 20 spots later. That counts.
Right. But it's worth less. And then
something on top of it. Yeah, it's worth 210 points left. But I think a lot of people, well, you give up a first round pick, you got to get two twos. No, you're getting a two by dropping 20 spots, and then maybe you get a fourth, something of that nature. If you're lucky, it might even be a fifth. So that's sort of how it works. And yeah, you see it all the time.
Look at that. And I'm just, I mean, just hearing that, it doesn't sound like a fourth round.
Well, yeah, because people don't, people can't wrap their heads around. You're giving up a first round pick and you're only getting an extra fourth round pick. Well, you're giving up 20 spots is what you're getting. Like, in theory, you could trade from 32 to 33 and you're trading a first round pick for a second round pick. And people look at that. Oh,
yeah. Right.
What the hell's the difference? You're not going that far down. So you're just trying to maximize value is basically what you're doing.
You mentioned something earlier that Howie said, you know, you talked to Howie about this, that there's some positions he doesn't want a fifth-year option on. Can you elaborate on that a little further?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's certain it's obvious from Howie's – he doesn't want a running back with a fifth-round option. He doesn't want an off-ball linebacker. You don't want that. You don't want to be in a position to pay, you know – and they probably just declined the option. Now, and if it turns into, in general, and everything's in general, all the positions they value versus the positions they don't value. Quarterback, obviously, it's very desirous. But the Eagles' philosophy, and I go back to my tangent yesterday, they don't want to use that fifth-year option anyway if the player hits. There's one or two things the Eagles are going to do with a fifth-year option. They're going to decline it, Jahan Dotson and Kenyon Green, or they're going to pick it up, as they've done many times in the past. And I've written stories on that. Yeah. But anyway.
Boy, that DMer is having a bad day.
Oh, my God. It's just. I mean, open your ears is all I would say. But as they've done many times in the past, but they rarely want the player to play on that fifth-year option because they want more salary cap malleability. So they generally extend them. It's that, you know, many times they fold in that fifth-year option into the extension to keep the number down for an extra year if it's a big contract, yada, yada, yada. But generally, the Eagles don't want to be the team that has their, you know, that has their player that they like playing on a fifth-year option. They don't want to be in that position.
All right, so it's all about the value. I mean, the Eagles clearly love certain positions, and they really stick to that all through and through.
So the trade for Goddard, and here's where Howie took advantage of Baltimore. They traded 32. And their fourth round pick, see, he'll do this as well, 132, to the Ravens, exchange for 52, a better fourth round pick, 125. So he moved up seven spots in the fourth round. Not that much. But, and here's where he's always, and I've talked about this with him before, believes there's a market inequity that the Eagles have taken advantage of. Generally, NFL teams believe future draft picks are not as valuable as current draft picks. Baltimore should not be in this place because they're a very stable organization. Most organizations who think that way, they have GMs GMing for their job, I'd like to say. And so the immediate is much more important to them than the future.
Yeah, it's like people who pay money for overnight shipping, Johnny Mac. I need it now.
Exactly.
You know, they need it now.
Exactly. Baltimore shouldn't be in that position. And he got a 2019 second-round pick. He got a future second-round pick.
Yeah, that's a good trade. Howie's been great trade with those future, man. Remember the Devontae Smith trade back about a month before the draft? You remember we had like the sixth pick? We traded back to 12.
Traded back to 12.
Future one. That was a hell of a trade, that one.
Now, also remember what I said about quarterbacks. Baltimore was coming up to get a quarterback. So it's more valuable to them. It's more valuable, as I talked about with Patrick Mahomes, even when it doesn't work out. Like, look what San Francisco did for Trey Lance. It's more valuable to them. So... and believe me, they're happy with it. Baltimore's happy with it. But that, and I think people will look at it and say, Baltimore got Lamar Jackson, so that's not a good trade for the Eagles. It was a damn good trade for the Eagles.
Yeah, because the Eagles weren't taking Lamar, so they maximized their value while Baltimore did as well. It's a win-win. Sounds like a win-win.
It is.
It's rare that it happens like that in the NFL.
Exactly.
But it is. Yeah.
Exactly.
A win-win there. Johnny Mac, let's get into some players. We could talk positions first, but... you know, one position I want to ask you about before we go players is secondary, because a lot of people are throwing out, you know, oh, I want Malachi Starks and I want Nick Emmanuel or I want Benjamin Morrison. And I love those players too. They're all really good players. But from my perspective, I just don't see Howie going secondary, because you're not maximizing your value with those top picks based on where they are on the roster right now. You get an edge rusher that's producing. I mean, you're saving a lot of money on the cap. You get a safety that's producing. You know, how much money are you saving? So I don't think they're really an option, but maybe I'm wrong. Do you think they would consider going safety or corner in round one again?
Very unlikely. Corner, I would say extremely unlikely corner, very unlikely safety. So I would describe it. With safety, first of all, you're probably talking about two players, and one is definitely not going to be there from my perspective, and that's Emmanuel. I guess there's a slight 15% chance that maybe Malachi Starks will fall. And if he's there, yeah, you might consider it. But I think it's so unlikely. I don't think it's even worth discussing. And obviously he's from Georgia, so that factors into it. So, I mean, that's it. That's what you're talking about. And I think it's very unlikely at 32 that either of those players are going to be there. And then you start talking about, all right, people want to trade up, yada, yada, yada. We just talked about it. You're not getting as much as you think. To go way up to get those. And where would you have to go to get Emmanuel? Forget about him. I'm talking about targeted trade up 4 or 5 spots. For Malachi Starks, I don't see it. I don't see it. But we'll see. I could see the Eagles not getting a safety and then Justin Simmons shows up. I could see that.
Yeah.
That'll make you happy.
Short term. Well, it's like last year, right? We didn't get the offensive lineman, Patano, and picked up Mekhi Becton after the draft, right? I mean, I think exactly. That actually happened. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that might happen this year if you don't get as well with Jedrick Wills or somebody like that. You know, there's still stuff to be done. But yeah, I don't see the fit at safety in 32 and corner. You know, you just spent 22 and 40 on corner. You're not doubling down. The one guy I've talked to, and I'm probably, you know, partially responsible for this, is Morrison, because he's really good. If he didn't get hurt, I think he'd be a, you know, top 20 pick. And I'm saying if he's there in the second round, not the first round, then you start talking about the value and just take the player because of the value. But even that, I mean, he's not going to last to 64. So I would say no.
That's where those 2 second round picks are going to get back, John.
Well, man, why not three? Why not three?
Yeah, get a couple, you know, draft everybody, get Landon, get
if somebody falls in love with Jalen Milroe, you might get a future second.
They're starting to gas him up a little bit, Jalen Milroe.
You're not getting a pick to get a player this year, though. You're getting a future pick to take advantage of one of these dummies that's GMing for their jobs.
What do you think of Milroe? Because obviously I'm slanted because, you know, he didn't have much success for my Alabama. Well, he did. He was successful. That's a lie. But if you look at it through the Alabama lens,
between Nick Saban and
– yeah. Well, I agree. But he was with Saban too. But, you know, I was hard on him in his college career. But at the end of the day, I want to see him succeed. I think he's a good kid, got a good head on his shoulders. But I think if he goes to the right team with the right coach, he could potentially be something because he's just so athletic. But
well, I think he's by far, I'll say this, I think he's by far the most gifted physically quarterback in this class.
I agree with that.
But yeah, I don't think he's too far along. So you have to have a lot of confidence in your development and all that kind of stuff. I don't like this quarterback class a little bit.
Yeah, did you see our guy Ian Cummings? Remember he was just getting into the draft when we had him on. He did it. He put out some of his first quarterback stuff yesterday. Not very good.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't. I think Cam Ward's a legit first round pick, but he's going to be the number one pick overall. I think he should be 20 or something like that. I think he should be in the Kenny Pickett range, somewhere like that. But because he's the best quarterback in this draft by far, he's going to go number one. That's just because of that. And Sanders. And boy, I saw somebody make the comp, and I don't know who made the comp, but I don't think Sanders even first round pick. I wouldn't take that kid in the first round. I saw somebody compare him to Brock Purdy from a size.
I think that was Ian.
Was it?
I think it was Ian.
Yeah, maybe it was. So shout out to Ian. I know I saw the comparison. I went, oof. Because I kind of. And that Brock's turned into a very good player, but he was a seventh round pick, is my point. You know, not that you have, but he's got some of the size issues. He doesn't have the big arm, that type of stuff. Typically, when you think of top five picks, you're talking about traits with quarterbacks, and he doesn't have top five traits. He just doesn't.
He doesn't have an elite arm. He's not like an elite speed or any of those things.
Just doesn't. And then that's what Milroe to me is by far the most physically gifted quarterback, but he's way too raw, way too inconsistent. And then you start to get to the second level, the Will Howards of the world, the Jackson Darts of the world. I saw John Gruden's working out with Riley Leonard and the Dillon Gabriels and the Quinn Ewers. Kyle McCord, of them all, I would take Kyle McCord.
McCord. Let's go, Johnny Mac. I like McCord.
And the kid from Louisville, too. He's big, at least. I don't like – this is not the year to be looking for a quarterback.
Yeah, no. Listen to what – so this is what Ian Cummings, those of you who listen to Birds 365, know Ian. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. We'll get him back on soon as well. I talked to Ian, so he's willing to come on with us all the way up to the draft and through the draft, so we'll have him on plenty. He had number one, Cam Ward, and he has him as a round one grade. And then he put gap two, Shedeur Sanders, top 45. Gap, Jalen Milroe, three, top 100. Gap, Jackson Dart, priority day three pick. So that's what he has on your top four quarterbacks. Yeah,
I could see somebody take it. Taken, you know, and Milroe and Dart are probably the guys who maybe somebody convinces themselves to take a shot at.
Yeah, if you're an Eagles fan, you want them to get gassed up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Those are the two guys that I could see potentially somebody talking themselves into.
Well, it's happening to me, John. We talk about this every year, how the NFL, you know, as you get closer to the draft, the quarterbacks get tough. It's happening to me. I'm starting to like Shedeur Sanders, John. I'm starting to like Shedeur Sanders.
I'll take him at 32. I'm not taking him in the top five.
You know what I'm betting on? One, I like the swagger. I like the confidence. I like a confident guy like that. And two, I'm betting on, you know, he did turn around Colorado. He turned around Jackson State. He's Deion's son. I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, yeah, this is a guy that he's got marketability.
Well, I
think he's got, you know, a good head on his shoulders to be able to handle the pressure of the NFL spotlight. I'm starting to like Shedeur Sanders, but maybe I'm just like an NFL team and I'm falling for him late.
Well, I don't even think the bad NFL teams care about marketability. It's great, you know, for the, you know, maybe Don Smolenski.
You got to be able to handle the spotlight. Carson Wentz, don't you think they would have done a little more research on that? Don't you think they wish they did that? He crumbled like a piece of loose leaf.
No, I think they're very happy with the Carson Wentz pick. No, I do.
I agree. I mean, he was a big part of the reason we won a Super Bowl.
I mean, they had never.
I'm not a Wentz hater at all. I'm just saying.
They had never won a Super Bowl. I think now, you know, people get spoiled so quickly. They had never won a Super Bowl. And I know, you know, people give Nick all the credit. They weren't getting to the damn Super Bowl if Carson didn't play the way he did during. So I think the team that I know the team looks at it that way as a successful pick. Now, did they project him to fall apart when they drafted Jalen Hurts? Obviously not. you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know how you get in people's heads, how we handled that. And part of it was injuries as well. You know, who knows what that concussion did to him, because he was never the same player.
Yeah, that's true. I was at that game, man. That was tough.
And then you talk about the knee. And he was a big physical guy who was tremendously athletic for his size. And I think when he lost some of that mobility, he never shifted gears to say, all right, I got to take advantage of my other skills. It was always like, now, how many plays did Carson Wentz try to extend? And yeah, he just kept in, you know, once you lose that part of your game, if you don't adjust, because he had the arm strength, he had everything to adjust, but he didn't. And I think a lot of it is, I always bring up the pandemic, you know. He went the same way. Jalen had a lot of mechanical issues, as most young quarterbacks do coming out of college, because they're not taught well.
Yeah, especially, by the way, especially guys who are athletic and can run, because they've been able to rely on that at every level.
Yeah, they're generally the best player on the field, yada, yada, dating back to high school, and they get away with it. So Jalen had to make a difficult decision to morph away from his longtime quarterbacks coach and go out to Los Angeles and work with Tom House and Adam Daydew. And, you know, he got better. He got better. And he continues to do it to this day. You know, not spending all off season, but he goes out there for a refresher. Doesn't like to talk about it because he doesn't want to sort of upset, you know, the people that got him there to begin with. But sometimes you got to be honest with yourself and say, all right, I've stagnated. I got to go here to improve. And he was able to do that, figure that out, and he continues to do it. Carson did the exact same thing between 2021 and 2022. He worked with those guys. He got so much better. He took off. Never went back. Pandemic, part of it, you know, everything shut down. Yeah, nobody could go anywhere.
That was a wild year in the NFL. No fans in the stadiums and shit.
I loved it. Traffic, man. Whoa.
Johnny Mac driving right in, driving right out after those games. That was like J-Mac's dream.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. But I digress.
It must have been so lifeless, though, the games. I mean,
it was terrible. It was weird. It was weird. Yeah. There were some interesting parts, like you could hear things better.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah, it was, a lot. It's like taping a TV show almost, you know, and on a closed set.
Right.
You know, there's no life to it. But, there's so many. I'd have to do a 15-hour show of the stupid things that people did during the pandemic. But, the NFL was at the top level of stupid.
Placating everybody, Johnny, trying to appease everybody, Johnny. Yeah. You just talked about this the other day with how they try and appease, you know, everybody from even the TV perspective and a safety perspective. Yeah. Don't try and please everyone. Just do what you got to do in the business.
Exactly. That was one of the overtime kills me because I brought up the Eagles are, and I think it's common sense rule change. They have different rules for overtime now, regular season, postseason.
Yeah, which is so stupid.
What sense does that make? So they're trying to uniform them. But I go all the way back to the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes game where everybody got their panties in a bunch and said, oh, he's got to get the football. They went down and scored, didn't get a chance. Oh, they had a chance. The defense could have stopped Kansas City. You know, everybody says there's a famous Matt Hasselbeck game where he won the coin toss and he said, we're going to take the football. We're going to score. You remember that? Some people may, but that's what he said, you know, and I don't care, you know, have some confidence. And all of a sudden, a couple plays later, I forget the corner pick-sixed him. Pick six, game's over. They won the coin toss. Everybody's like, well, the game's over. No, it's not. I sudden death. I don't think they should have changed it from that. Is it perfect? No. Is it compelling? Hell yeah. The game is about entertainment, not about appeasing all these morons. And the NFL, yeah, wants to appease everybody. They're like that. They're like that goofy friend who wants everybody to does anything. Yeah, I'll do this for you. 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 You're the guy worth $1 billion. Let them come to you.
Right.
I mean, they're worth far more than that. But they try to appease everybody. Just ignore them.
John, are you going to write a book one day?
If I ever get time. So, yeah.
I'd love for J-Mac to write a book. You got to do it when you're still on Jacob. Then we can promote the hell out of it. You'll be getting sales left and right. People love to listen to and read Johnny Mac. John, good stuff. Good stuff there. It's going to be interesting to see, man, this draft process. Some good conversation there with the way the way the board works and everything like that and priorities. But, John, on the most recent Daniel Jeremiah mock draft, which I know I'm not big on mocks like you, but, you know, certain people you listen to more. After listening to you talk about Daniel Jeremiah, I think Daniel Jeremiah is a guy to listen to. It doesn't mean he's going to be right and he's going to change and do another mock draft, I'm for sure. But on his most recent mock draft post-free agency, he had Shamar Stewart falling to 32 in the Philadelphia Eagles drafting him. We talked about him. He was an excellent combine player this year. I don't know if he's available, but, you know, or if they would do that. But what do you think of that fit for the Birds?
Yeah, that I would love. Same thing. I don't know how realistic it is. But, you know, there's only 32 of these things. So if somebody starts to fall, and he's a guy who, you know, obviously from a physical trait standpoint, he's 6'6", 290. I always talked about the Eagles need more size on the edge. He's a perfect fit for them. And maybe he falls a little bit because of his lack of production in college. He wasn't a big sack guy, despite all his mm-hmm. gifts.
He wasn't super productive on the field, but great traits.
And boy, I can't imagine 31 NFL teams passing on that guy. You know, he's got top 10 traits, but he didn't play like a top 10 player. But if you're just talking about physical gifts, easily a top, maybe top five in this draft, easily. I find it very hard to believe he's going to be at 32. If he is at 32, I'm racing up to put the card in. Exact player the Eagles need. Exact player.
Wow.
I keep saying they need a centerpiece for the pass rush. Now, it's tough to project out of any rookie. So I'm talking more about 2-3 years down the line. Now you hope they hit the ground running like Quinion and Cooper, but that's probably more of an outlier.
I'm not ruling anything out with Vic Fangio. I don't want to. You know, that's one thing I will do. I'm not going to rule anything out with Vic Fangio back there, man. I really think he's going to pull the most out of all these players.
And it might take a little bit of time, like I said, yeah. But I'm willing to wait. If you can get a player with that much talent at 32, that is the easiest choice the Eagles will ever have to make at a position they value. You know, unless there's something behind the scenes and, you know, that kind of stuff, which we don't know about and we can't know about. And that's where Dom comes in. But I haven't heard anything with Shamar. That kind of stuff. There's always things that could derail it. Health, medical stuff. Haven't heard anything. From a physical standpoint, if you get a player like that at the 32 in the draft, you thank your lucky stars and hand it in and don't even worry about any of the other stuff.
Yeah. We'll see if he makes it there. I'm with you. I don't think he's going to fall that far, but if he did, it would be an easy pick. Almost as easy as Crowley brings up. The easiest choice was Jalen Carter. Shit was free low. You're right, Crowley. That was an easy decision, man. especially for Howie.
Oh, that was the easiest decision for the Eagles. That's the most Eaglesy pick of Eaglesy pick. But you're also talking about a top 10 pick. There's a big difference between top 10 and Jalen should have been obviously top 5. and probably he was the best player in that draft, but yeah, always quarterbacks are different, but he was the top position player in that draft from a talent standpoint. And he fell for a reason, and it was a legitimate reason, but he still didn't fall that far because that's how gifted he is. But yeah, that was an easy choice for the Eagles. But there's a big difference between top 10 and 32.
Yeah, Jalen, I mean, let's be real. Jalen Carter should have been number one overall, if we're being honest with ourselves. But obviously, that wasn't going to happen with the obviously what had happened at that time. And everything worked out for the Eagles' favor, because now I think you got a certified beast on the Eagles' defensive line for years and years and years to come. So we'll see how it all shakes out. John, any other names that you like in the draft right now at that 32 spot? Or even if they move back, you know, we've talked about how the board isn't that all that different, you know, between 20 and 50 or somewhere in that range. Any names jumping out to you, John, that you personally like in this draft?
Well, you know, that's a position. Obviously, Abdul Carter's not going to be there.
Right.
Mike Green from Marshall, the kid from Boston College. I don't want to.
He's a Rocku.
Thank you. Mikael Williams. A lot of players at that very deep position. James Pierce. He's like the opposite of Shamar Stewart.
Yeah. He is.
He tested so poorly, but he's so productive on the field. And again, I don't think he's going to last the 32. Somebody's going to take a chance on him.
I could see him falling.
But he performs so poorly. And I'm sure he'll do his pro day and he'll be better. Sometimes you just have a bad day. So yeah. I'm sure he's not going to last. But
the schools muddy those up, though, the pro days.
Yeah, Penn State does, Jeff Kerr. Yeah, Penn State's famous for.
I could see that. I mean, I could.
And that's part of it. They're going to fudge
them. I mean, even yesterday, or a couple days ago, Bama's. I mean, Milroe ran like a 4.37.
Yeah, they're going to fudge the numbers. Yeah. And you're going to hear the numbers you hear come from the school. That's why they're always so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the smart teams and most teams, I shouldn't even say all teams have, if they're there, they're going to do their own timing. So they don't even give a shit. Because they know what's going on. But so those are the first round guys. Carter, obvious. Pierce, Green, Ezeraku, Mikael Williams, Georgia guy. So they'll probably take him if he's there. And Shamar Stewart. And then I think you go down to the potential day two guys. And they're deep there as well. You know, you got Landon Jackson from Arkansas. You got Nick Scourton from Texas A&M. You got Jack Sawyer from Ohio State. You got a bunch of guys. Kyle Kennard, I know they were down at South Carolina Pro Day. He'd be more of a third round pick for me. They're going to get an edge rusher. Or a defensive front person, could be a defensive tackle as well. But they're going to get somebody on the defensive front, I guarantee, over those first 2 days.
No doubt about it. Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm with Paul Mancini, brings up the guy. We both of us have talked about this guy, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. I like that as a fit. We'll see. Well,
tackle, yeah.
He's a tackle, not an edge, but yeah, but a good defensive line player. I could see that for sure. We'll see what they end up doing. Johnny Mac, John, we're going to have Les Bowen coming up in a little bit here, about 18 minutes or so. We'll talk to Les. Looking forward to talking to Les Bowen. It's been a little bit. We'll see what he thinks so far of the Eagles' Timu offseason. All right. Mm-hmm. And what's upcoming in the NFL draft. Something I wanted to bring up to you yesterday, today, John. Not that it's the biggest thing in the world, but Devontae Smith was on a podcast. I forget who was that with. I watched a lot of the interview and I'm blanking on who the heck it was with.
Yeah, I don't know who it was. I didn't. I just saw the clip.
I think it was on Carmelo Anthony's, wasn't it? Carmelo Anthony's podcast. 7 PBK. But anyway, he spoke about Slay. I saw you post it out, and I'm like, boy, I don't really. It's one of those things where I've been saying the phrase recently. At what point is our opinions overrated? Opinions of Slay are far overrated. I mean, I'm listening to Devontae Smith, you know, credit his NFL ability, credit his NFL talent and stuff to, you know, being molded by Darius Slay, who's like, he's a great leader. He, you know, told me what to do in practice, told me everything I was doing wrong. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry, Eagle fans. You might not like Darius Slay, but I'm going to
part of the reason I retweeted is because selfish. I've heard these stories from Devontae. I've said them on the show, but people aren't going to listen to me because, you know, but they'll listen to Devontae, hopefully. I've talked about what a great teammate Slay is so many times over the years on this show. Because some people, and yet, sure enough, I tweeted and you got this one idiot troll. Oh, he should shut the fuck up. And
I saw it.
And by the way, he's got is obviously these people tend not to put their faces on their words, and he's got a face of CJ saying Slay should shut the, you know. I'm like, yeah, all right. But
he was a troll in Jacob for a little bit, and then I roasted him. Luke's dad. Some people in the chat might remember him. I roasted Luke's dad one day, and then he's like, I'm never coming back here. You're too mean. I'm like, good, get the fuck out of here, troll.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I've told the Devin Allen story. I've tried to explain he's a team captain for 3 years, not because he's a six-time Pro Bowl player, because he's voted for by his teammates, like Devontae Smith. Devontae's been talking about it when he first got here, and he told the story on the show. You know, he'd run routes, and Slay would say, you know, what it was before, and he was saying, well, how does this fucking guy know what I'm running? It's just because of how savvy and smart, and he's seen it all, and he knows what's coming, and he would tell Devontae exactly what he was tipping off, and he's trying to explain the situation. That's how he's advanced so far in his career. He's gotten so good. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL. A lot of that he gives credit to Slay for helping. And Slay's that rare guy, and I bring it up all the time because he's told the story to me many times. You know, when he came in as a rookie in Detroit, he had some very good veteran players who took him under their wings. And he felt it was always his responsibility to do the same, to pay it forward to other young players. And if you talk to Quinyon Mitchell, if you talk to Cooper DeJean, if you talk to Reed Blankenship, all the young defensive backs, they say the same thing. People are going to realize what they're missing when there's no Slay out there. Because I guarantee you, you know, Ringo is 23 years old, can run like the wind, and Slay can still run at his age, amazingly. But yeah, not really well
for his age.
Not like Ringo, but, you know, Ringo has the size and length and everything you could be to be a great NFL corner. I love the guy. I say it all the time. AJ told me he's going to be a really good. He ain't going to be Darius Slay,
and he's certainly not looking at a rookie wide receiver.
And he ain't calling out every route he's about to run.
He's not doing that.
No. So you know, yeah, I talked about Brandon a lot because he retired this week. Slay's almost in that same category for whatever reason. I don't know how you're a six-time Pro Bowler and underrated, but he's underrated. And, you know, all the stuff, you know, and he, even last year, because everybody fell in love with Quinyon, and rightfully so. You know, Quinyon will tell you right away who the cornerback one on that team was, and it wasn't Quinyon Mitchell.
Right.
And now it has to be, and he's going to have to step up in that role, and he's got all the skills to do it, and he's a very good player, but he's not going to be as savvy as Darius Slay, at least right away. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so take your opinion of Darius Slay, you can roll it up in a ball and chuck it in the trash, because I'm going to listen to the players who played with Darius Slay, the guys who helped win us a Super Bowl in this city, talk about Darius Slay. Again, my opinion of him, don't really care about it. I mean, the players love him, obviously, and it was another thing Devontae said on that podcast. It was great. I love listening to Devontae Smith. He's not a guy that opens up.